welcome to MILF Talk, Make Your Life Fabulous. I'm Sophie Venable, author, life coach, and mother of two. Whether you're married with children, single, divorced, or all of the above, I'm talking to you about life, relationships, and sex.
Oh, sex? Can we talk about sex?
Yes, and that's why Todd's here today. That's always why he's here.
That's all I can think about.
Yeah, ladies, ladies, ladies. So we actually are talking about one of my favorite subjects today. We're talking about the whole man-woman attraction thing.
What?
Yes. Oh. Looking at the ladies. I have a very special guest today. He has a best-selling book in England. He is a handsome gent who brought me a rose today. The
points scored.
The name of his book, yes, points scored. The name of his book is When a Man Looks at a Woman. And his name is Frank Azenekwe. And you can find him on frank.com. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome the very handsome Frank Azenekwe.
Yay. Hey, Frank.
Yes. Frank. How are you today? Thank you for being here.
Thank you so much for having me.
So this is one of my favorite topics because I think sometimes women are frustrated that men are, you know, visual and like, why do I have to look good all the time and this and that? And there's sort of a denial of the attraction and the dance that goes on at initial meeting and all of the things that go through a man's head immediately, you know, like immediately, like, I'm sorry, but you're kind of on one list or the other.
Right, right, right.
Like in a tenth of a second. Am I right? Am I even close?
You're absolutely right.
Okay.
I start the book that way.
Oh, you do?
It takes seconds. Yes.
Takes seconds, right? So tell us a little bit about yourself.
All right. My name is Frank Azenekwe. I was born in Nigeria. I lived in England for 10 years. I studied design, so I have a degree in design. And I came to the States to direct films. And so I moved here in 2000 to LA. And I currently teach business. I have an MBA, so I teach business in a local college.
Okay.
So this is my first nonfiction book. I've written a few films and stuff. But
nice. And what inspired... Yes,
I was just about to ask that very question. I'm sorry I spoke up. I should have let you talk. It's your show.
Damn it, Todd.
But I was curious.
How many times do I have to tell you, right? So here you are. Well, and first of all, you're a college professor, so you're looking at hot chicks all day. Is that what inspired the book?
It's just a coffee table book. It's just photos. It's co-eds.
No. I think when you look at the divorce rates in the States and you look at the downward trail of relationships in America today, it makes sense that we have to take a more scientific view. Mm. With respect to what happens when a man looks at a woman, you know, and how relationships are built off that.
And so you're trying to reach people who are seeking relationship, who are in relationship.
I think that today with dating going on online, you know, 80% of the time from what I understand, it makes sense that, you know, my audience are mm-hmm. those that have been through several relationships that have been maybe erroneous or fell apart because mm-hmm. of different things or not having the right information, not being compatible. And so one of the things I talk about is the idea of men looking at women through three criteria, which is their looks, their personality, and their lifestyle. Mm-hmm. And so when you base it on those things, the chances of you guys staying together is much greater than if it's just casual and quick and just 8-minute dating type thing.
Sort of hoping that and something will stick, kind
exactly.
of.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Hoping that the stars, and, you know.
Okay, so how can... is there a way to express to women this experience that happens to men when they look at a woman and they sort of... They're viscerally judging their experience or just having their experience in response to a woman. And help a woman understand that this is not necessarily an objectifying thing, that this is a chemical thing, right? Like, how can... Maybe you can explain it to us in scientific terms.
Generally, when a man looks at a woman, so many emotions come up, right? So the first one everyone knows about is sex. Mm-hmm. But that's just one conversation, you know. Men look at women for different reasons. Maybe you just want to start a conversation. Maybe you just want to find a friend to talk to. And sometimes you want to make love, yeah, but it doesn't stop there. You know, that's just 4 hours and you're done and you're bored. And you have to move on, right? So, you know, there's no...
4 hours.
I think that's the average. Yeah, I'm not sure.
Is that the average?
Maybe where you're from. This is the United States.
Apparently, there's not a lot. They don't have cable in Nigeria.
for minutes.
Right, right. So you know, to make women understand how men look at them, I think we have to first define what the modern man is. I used to be there in the past. We just rushed after women and just like fools rushing. And you make all the wrong mistakes. But now we approach women scientifically. We go online. We look at their faces. We see their personalities come through, you know, through various apps. And we can decide if we want to shut them on, you know. And
swipe right or swipe left.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, we can explore so much more before we actually meet the person. And so that allows us to, a juxtaposition of different things that we can put together to decide if we want to be with this woman.
Do you think that those things are accurate, though, sort of based on photographs and filling out forms?
Because isn't there a lot of misrepresentation?
See, I met the love of my life online.
Right.
So, I think it works, you know, but I also know
a lot of butchers out there.
You know.
Right.
So, and I know a lot of people who absolutely hate, you know, this, the whole online dating thing and, you know, making assessments based on looks and such.
Yes. It looks is just one part of it. I think before you even try to contact someone online, you want to make sure they look good first, or that they fit your profile, fit what you like.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you like them slim, thin, you know, athletic.
Do you think that can be constricting to the realities of finding happiness in a long-term relationship, having a type, which is what it sounds like you're describing?
Right. I think you have to know what you want. I mean, you said that you want.
So it's okay to have a type.
It's very, very, very important to have a type and to define it properly and to actually look to the latent side of that type. So it's not just the physical form, but the feeling, the essence of the woman is not between her legs. It's everything else outside of that. I think that that's what people miss when they're looking. You know, they just go for the animalistic instinct.
Do you think that's because of, you know, the media's influence, you know, the media in general, pornography, all that, that men are looking at women in that way because of that? And your book is sort of, it sounds like it's geared for men,
right,
to get them to open up their minds and get out of that.
Or is it geared toward women?
It's
trying to get women to, because I was wondering too, trying to make women understand that there is this thing that men do, which, you know, in today's world can be very taken very negatively. What you're talking about, objectification,
yeah,
looking at a woman for like sex out of the gate, and a lot of women get offended by that, I guess.
You're absolutely right. You know, this book really deals with teaching women how men perceive them. Because, you know, I hear women tell me all the time, I thought it was going to work out. I didn't understand this guy. I thought this was the one. But you have to understand what he's looking at from the day one. Like, mm-hmm. What is he? Has he found this type physically? And then does he understand your lifestyle? Can he judge your personality based on a few conversations? Because these things have to align for the relationship to work in the long term.
Mm-hmm.
In the short term, your looks is enough. But you need further, you know, criteria in place for you to really understand how far or how latent you can be with a woman.
Do you have a timeline? Do you feel like there's kind of a timeline for men these days as far as like, because, you know, when
his timeline is 4 hours. Well, we established that.
That's right. We already have that timeline. Okay. Okay, yes, I want this question to make sense. I will deal with women as well who are saying, he still has this ex-girlfriend as a friend over here on Facebook or this or that, and he hasn't really cleared the decks. And I'm like, it's been 2.5 weeks. Yeah, but we've been sleeping together. I'm like, I don't care. I don't care if you're having sex. That doesn't mean anything. That doesn't mean anything as far as where a man is at with you, right? Because you guys don't like fill in the whole future.
No.
You have to like feel it. So I would be curious, do you have kind of a general time that men are dating a woman before they kind of know which way it's going to go one way or the other?
Okay.
Because I have a guess, yeah, but I don't know if I'm right.
There is a timeline, but yeah, it's different for every man, and it depends
on what
stage they're in their life.
Damn, humans are so unique.
So guys that are in their 20s, I would say this. are looking for
10
sex.
Years. So.
and you get the picture. So guys in their 30s might think about it in more formative terms. Mm-hmm. And the guys in their 40s pretty much know within a couple of weeks if what they're looking at mm-hmm. is going to make sense for the long term. Mm-hmm. Because they need time. You see, your body's right, so we like that. But we need to go into your personality mm-hmm. to see if you're moody, if you're happy, if you're smiling all the time. You know, what is your personality type? Does mm-hmm. it fit ours? Are you mm-hmm. are you someone that likes to stay indoors? You know, and then what's your lifestyle? Mm-hmm. You know, if you're into drugs and the guy is not into drugs, then it's not going to work. So this is some very, very simple benchmarks that would allow you to see, men use that at least, to see where this is going.
And I personally think men are wise this way.
Right.
I think women need to be more wise. I think that women, as you're reading this book, you need to start thinking more like a man for yourself. Because women will be like, well, he does drugs and I don't, but I can fix that.
No, you can't.
And
it really, really depends on the drug.
If it doesn't work for you, that's true.
If it's heroin.
If it doesn't work for you, then it doesn't work for you. And I that's why it's like, I want women to read your book and not only understand how men think, but maybe kind of learn a little bit of it for themselves.
Absolutely.
You know?
To discern. I define it as a book for the discerning woman that can really look into the structure. Because men think in terms of logic. Okay? So mm-hmm. so this beautiful shape over here might cost $500 a month in child support if I go further. So we have a very structured way of looking at it.
Oh, it's so sad but true. Yeah,
that was kind of like a local example. But on a higher level, men also look at in terms of liability, you know, how expensive is this woman? Because I talk about different types of women in this book.
Really?
Powerful women, mm-hmm. Voluptuous women, skinny models. I talk about different types of women. Women with kids, how men see their exes, how men see married women, how men see violent women, how men see violence in relationships. Mm-hmm. So it goes into so many different areas. So it's not a coffee table book.
How do they see married women? I didn't understand this when I was married. Sort of
how
like
men see married
yeah,
women?
Yeah, how do men see married women? I'm curious.
Two things. You know, one, marriage is an institution of God. So it's a foundation laid by God. So man code, we don't want to go there. That's number mm-hmm. one. If a man is doing that, if he's in a relationship with a married woman, then it's because she really pushed it. Because men don't really see that as cool.
Really?
We don't go there.
No, you think so? Just,
You already have
how does a woman, though, push a man into having an affair with her if she's married?
Well, usually it's when... Go ahead, sorry.
No. Go ahead. I want to hear what you
say. It happens when they're separated or something is going on. So he comes in as a filler.
Yeah.
But generally, men avoid affairs that might be detrimental to everyone. You know, we don't want to creep.
Not just because they don't want to get their ass kicked?
They might be the ones kicking ass.
No, that's
just it depends on the guy. Yeah.
I think you're giving a lot of people a lot of credit, but because I think a woman who's lonely in her relationship is vulnerable to the seduction of a man, and he can say, "Well, she's the one that, you know, allowed it to happen because, you know, otherwise I wouldn't have gone there." But, and that is, there is some truth to that. But at the same time,
and we're talking about men who aren't married.
There's definitely there, you know, most likely that guy is getting under her skin. You know, it's not like he's not texting her. It's not like he's not telling her she's beautiful, right. You know? So I think personally, I think that the responsibility
that is a two-way street. Yeah,
it's a, you know, yeah. But
that's interesting, though. I've not heard that theory before about married women and single men and that whole thing. I mean, usually when people are talking about cheating, they're talking about the spouses on both sides cheating. And usually the numbers are higher about men cheating on women when they're married. But this is an interesting concept that I've not heard before, that single men who cheat with married women are less, there's less of them is what you're suggesting.
Because they've got other options.
So many options.
Yeah.
It's just not sophisticated enough to do that.
So let's speak to the fact that there are just beautiful women everywhere. Like, really, I think that...
That's good.
How do you... Well, no, I mean, really. Like, if... I feel sorry for men sometimes. Like, really, they're everywhere.
It's hard.
I mean, to say that a man should only look at one woman as long as he shall live, is like, I just try to say to women, like, guess what? You have a really beautiful pair of shoes in your closet. I want you to go through the mall and never look at another pair of shoes ever again. Don't look. Don't even point at it. And I'm not saying that men should like be rude, but where do we file this? Where do we file the fact that, you know, because we're and we age, you know, and then suddenly like most of the women are prettier than us. And they're everywhere and they like older men and we're very vulnerable in this way.
Yes.
So do you speak to this in your book?
Yeah, I do. And I don't even have to go into the book for that. My girlfriend doesn't like me looking at women, period. Mm. It doesn't matter what it is. In my dream, it doesn't matter.
In your dream?
I'm not allowed to just indulge at all. Mm. So I can respect that. But sometimes I'm studying it for research.
That's
now
why,
we know
wrote,
why
a
he wrote the book. So let's go back to question number two. So what inspired you to write this book? Well, I needed a research project.
Do you think that's fair of your lady to be that way?
I think that now we have a better understanding, you know, and so she looks at men too, you know. So,
sure.
I was going to say, yeah, right, you know, there's some hot guys around.
Absolutely. And, you know, you can't fight it, you know, it's there, but you just don't want to disrespect your partner in every forum. It doesn't make any sense.
Well, I suppose it's the difference between a glance and a lingering stare.
Or a strong
That is rude.
Sure.
It would seem.
Sure, but like if you were watching a movie and you were like, wow, Eva Longoria is looking pretty hot, like that's like saying the sky is blue. Is this going to get you like smacked?
Yes.
You know?
Oh, really? Okay.
Oh, I couldn't do it.
My wife was like that at the beginning.
Yeah?
Yeah. She did not like it if I looked at other women or
even celebrities or anything.
Yeah. I mean, I've never been.
Like, I've taken my laminated Pierce Brosnan hall pass into every relationship.
It seems fair. It seems fair.
I mean, it just seems only fair. And it turns out he kind of lives in my hood.
Right, right.
Pierce Brosnan.
Pierce.
Amazing.
Well, she
right?
She got over it eventually when she realized that even though I might look at other women because they're pretty, that I'm not going to run off and have an affair just because I saw someone pretty. Right?
Right.
So, you know, but it took a while for
even if you had a whole chemical reaction, right?
Right.
Doesn't mean you've now assessed them as somebody you're going to run off with.
Yeah, you're never going to do that. I'm in love with my girl. So, you
oh,
can look
you're
at
never going to do that. I was going to say, because that shit happens all the time.
You can look
I've had
at
some
women.
Personal experience with that.
You know, men look at women all the time, you know, mm-hmm. and we don't always look at them because we want them. In fact, most of the men that look at women would never say anything to you. They don't. Only
right,
very few
right.
would come up to you and say something. So we spend more time in a cerebral zone understanding what's going on. We plan the game. So by the time we build up enough courage or plan on talking to you, we've already looked at you intrinsically. And we really know we want to talk to you. And sometimes women don't give men a chance. They just walk away or mm-hmm. treat it as nothing.
Right.
So he might be the one. You know,
sometimes we're clueless.
Yeah, well, sometimes it's hard to know.
Yeah.
You know.
So when my daughter is like, well, how do I know if he likes me? And I'm like, he's texting you every day and he wants to be around you all the time, wants to be in your airspace. Generally, guys don't want to be in your airspace if they don't like you.
That's true.
Am I correct?
You're very correct.
Thank yes. you. Okay,
yeah,
good.
Pretty simple sign right there.
I mean, that's what I love about men is it's not complicated. It's not. It's so great. I think that we overcomplicate it.
That's true.
So
you think that women overcomplicate
yes,
it?
Yes, I think that women are like constantly sort of, well, he said this and then he did this. And I'm like, you know.
They're worrying too much about subtext.
Yeah.
In conversations.
And sort of trying to predict the future.
Right. That's why this book is necessary. Because we have to go through those steps for it to make sense to us. And women do the same thing, you know, so they just process faster, I think.
Yes, but unwisely so, I think. No, really.
They go through the process and make decisions unwisely?
Yeah, they like you work on paper and then we're gonna talk about this. So it's like heavy on my mind. But, you know, it works on paper. And so like all these blanks are already filled in before you've even gotten to know the person. Because I personally think, and I know you said somebody in their 40s, they do kind of know pretty quickly. But I don't think you know somebody until you've known them for at least 3 months. I mean, really.
Yeah, that's true.
Like,
yeah.
And then you still don't.
You still don't. Until, it depends on what you want to do with them. So if you want to date them.
What is your intent?
Yeah, exactly. That really makes a lot of difference. Because if you know them for, if you just want to be with them casually, then 3 weeks is good. Mm-hmm. But if you want to marry them, you need to know them for a few years.
Yeah, I think so. This is a big decision.
Yeah, their full character would not emerge within 2 years.
Well, religiously, you know, a lot of people aren't allowed to move in together before they get married. And I just, like, never could understand how you could marry someone without living with them first, because there's so much you learn in living with a person.
Are you picking a fight with me?
Yeah.
Because you know I disagree with you.
Yeah, I know you disagree. I know you disagree. No, it's fine.
I get your point.
Anybody can work, but it's like there's so much that you learn. It's like that saving yourself for your wedding day.
Oh,
you know, if you don't know each other sexually before you get married, and that can really blow up in your face, I would think.
Mm-hmm.
But the same as living with each other. Like you suddenly realize, you know, you're roommates, but you're more than roommates. And more than roommates, you can't leave a pile of dishes in the sink. If your roommate doesn't like that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, totally.
And you got to figure out she's got to figure out how I like certain stuff to be, and I have to figure out
and she needs to adjust accordingly.
Well, no, but you know, there's certain things that you can't adjust. I mean, it's not like you're not trying to fix anybody. You're trying to cohabitate.
We're going to fix you.
And maybe it's impossible to do that. Maybe that's the part of, like, when you get into that situation, you're like, holy shit, we're incompatible as roommates. Everything else is fine. But to move in together, I'm saying.
It just leads to a lot of marriages by default. That's the problem.
The reason
the divorce rate is higher for people who live together first is generally because it was too hard to break up, and they figured if they got married, it would get better, because that always fixes everything.
Yeah. Well, that's not my fault.
That's relationship
that's
momentum.
Fault,
that's you know, that's what some people refer to as relationship momentum.
Sure.
Like, we're already here, you know, like, let's go all the way. Let's completely validate this and now see if it works.
Right.
And what you're saying, which would be the smart thing to do, is, we don't live together well. Let's break up.
Right.
That's like, oh, no, we got to go all the way before we fail. It's just human nature. It's like the momentum, right? So,
Todd has a very important point, because you need to test drive this car first and make sure it works.
Yeah,
And I mean living together, you know, during the weekends and going through shopping, going to grocery, you know, cooking together.
Do the regular mundane stuff together.
And checking your hygiene levels and just making sure things. I have another book about that, but it's a different story.
Mm-hmm.
Where you actually build based on your spatial factors. And there's something called spatial factors in design. And so you're designing based on not just the internal environment, but the external environment, the influences it has.
Mm-hmm.
And architects use this a lot. And so what you're talking about is being able to see the relationship in 3D.
Mm-hmm.
That's something that's missing. You know, you need to kind of know what you're about to get into.
And how can you can't really? I don't think you can see that theoretically. I mean, I think you have to.
No, but like you said, you can experience some of it on the weekends, right?
Yeah. No, I think that's good advice.
Road trips.
Nice compromise with your not moving in together problem.
I'm not going to live with you, Todd.
I just want to try it out.
Damn it.
Yeah, because relationships really work when you test them. And if you're all in love and you're not testing it, then you don't really know what's going to happen when there's stress, when mitigating circumstances come into play.
Yes.
You can't really, because you haven't tested it yet.
Right.
It's all happy.
And it's hard to do those tests, too, when you're in the quote-unquote honeymoon phase of a relationship because you're seeing stars all the time. So what do you do about that? Because, I mean, it isn't like when you move in together, that honeymoon phase wears off. And maybe that's the thing, the statistic, or people getting married, like they think they'll get that honeymoon phase back if they actually go on an actual honeymoon or something.
I don't know.
Let's just go on a honeymoon, Sophie. Oh,
perfect. I'm always up for umbrella drinks. So, okay, here's the critical moment, I think, that happens when what did I just learn? It's called the DTR talk, the define the relationship talk, you know? And when a man says, you know, after like 4.5 weeks, well, have you taken your profile off match.com conversation, right?
Oh,
it's like,
yeah,
well,
yeah.
But it's 4.5. And and so she's getting this thing, this message of like, I haven't test driven this car, this relationship enough, right? And she's like, what the fuck don't you know? Right? Like, right. And so, and yet there's a lot you don't know.
In 4.5 weeks, there's so much you don't
know. So much you don't know, but that is like the hugest offense to the female mind. It's like, what? How could you not have decided already that you, that this is the shit?
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, but if you, if what you're actually going for is like a real relationship, we both should be questioning this more. Right.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
So
right.
So how do you, like, if a, if somebody says to you, because you, you deal with people who do a lot of online dating.
Yes.
I think this is like a big debate. When you've gone out with somebody, all right, let's say a couple times, let's say you start sleeping together, you've slept together, you're kind of maybe seeing each other once a week. When do, when are you obligated to take your profile down?
Once love comes into it.
Oh.
And how to define what that means in the relationship. I mean, love is...
Yes. It's not just the phrase, I love you, but I think once you guys start having exclusive feelings for each other, mm-hmm. to where no one else can penetrate that relationship, or you're building something that seems like it's going to be long-term, I think it's time to take profile down, because it becomes disrespectful if other women are sending you emails and you're with a girl.
Sure.
Or, mm-hmm. or vice versa. You know,
but you do have, I mean, I would imagine you have to have some kind of conversation where you explicitly say we're committed to each other, and that's when you take the profiles down, mm-hmm. right?
Yes.
Right.
I mean, you have to.
So do you explain to women that a guy's not supposed to automatically take his profile down without that conversation?
I think the modern man takes it down even before he's asked. In my experience, yeah. women would say, do you still have your profile up?
Right, right.
Yeah.
Then you know to take
they
it down.
Do
that
it. Point. Yeah, yeah.
What? Know, so. No.
Because clearly, if the answer is no, you're not getting any tonight. So right, make right. your decision.
Right, right. And sometimes there might be more than one profile online.
No, guys, you know, guys, that's true. That's true. Yeah,
you
know, wow.
So you got to take all of them.
Yeah, because that is the weird part of the whole online dating thing, is that it's like, well, he still has his profile up. And then what I generally say is, then you better be keeping yours up. Like, just, you know, like, well, let's wait until there's a conversation that happens.
Right.
Because I also know men, I've talked to a lot of men about this, who are like, she took her profile down and that scared him away.
Oh.
Because he's like, oh my God, we've been on 3 dates. She took her profile down. Mm. What is she assuming? What is she expecting from me? You know,
right.
And you know, on the third date, it's like, yeah, well, you know, yeah, but my profile's down. What about yours? And it's like, because well, I thought we were just exploring this.
Right.
It's like, well, but then what you're saying is you already have a determination of the rest of my week after 3 dates.
Yeah. 3 dates is not enough.
You
know?
No.
I think you need more and more active dates, you know.
And I think so, too. And I think women should want more. Yeah. I don't think they should be signing up so quickly. You know,
mm-hmm. because it's hard for them to decide. I mean, I feel sorry sometimes because for women, because they have so many choices, you know, like men are not like we have to fight for every woman we get. But women wake up, you know, do their wax.
just looking all girly.
There's just a bunch of guys on the lawn.
Right. You know,
just waiting.
The minute
what are you doing today?
Every out. Morning. That's what they're doing there.
Like, you know,
how did you get in the gate?
You know, they get like 20 guys hit them up in one afternoon. You know, and you know, guys, every game, every play we get.
I have already
have to
gotten a rose today.
Mm-hmm. It's really hard. You know, so it's hard to decide which profile, you know, who to go out with. And I've talked to some women that have dated like 20 guys in a month. Just.
Okay, then. So, final question for you: what do you have to say to the women who say there's no good guys out there?
Well, that's a very expansive question.
That's another book.
there are many good guys out there, but women have to know how to perceive them and understand how to question what they're looking for. Because once you can define exactly what you're looking for, once you can make a man define that for himself, then it's easy to see if you fit that or not. I remember once I
like that. I like that approach.
Right.
Yeah.
I remember I was on this dating site and this Asian lady, she contacted me online and said, hi, well, if you don't like me, don't respond because I like you. So don't respond and waste my time if you don't like me. It just makes it move faster. And I respected that.
Mm-hmm.
because she wasn't my type at that time. Mm-hmm. You know? And so I didn't respond and just kept it simple. So I think men need to be careful not to even engage if it's not your type. Hmm. You know, if she has one body part that you like, that's not enough to engage. There has to be something.
Her left butt cheek is fantastic.
Right one, though? Can't marry it.
I'm on the fence about the other butt cheek.
Right, you have to really look at the whole picture. You know, look
yeah.
at the whole, like,
that is such a difficult part of online dating, because I do remember responding to people sometimes and saying, you know, thank you, because they would take the time to write something really nice, like not a cut and paste, but like something really nice. And I'd say, thank you so much, you know, for contacting me. I don't really see a match here, but you know, I wish you luck, you know. And then they'd write back and say, you didn't even give me a chance. And da, da, da. And I'm like, oh my God.
Yeah, I feel like that's a whole other thing.
But that's,
yeah,
well, that is waking up a different beast.
Yeah, that's like learning how to take no for an answer.
Right. Yes.
I feel like in the romantic realm,
it
people put a lot on it, and it can be very hurtful, that rejection.
Yeah.
I'm an actor, so I live my life according to rejection. So I,
if you don't get enough rejection in a week, it's like a problem.
I'm like, my career is not going well. I haven't found enough people
That's
to
right.
reject me yet.
Right. You need that.
But
so.
I remember when I was a kid, like I'd be like, what? Why? And you put it all out, you're like, why? And it's just like, but it's not.
I see
it's
that
not,
in my girls.
And they say it's
like,
not,
why?
Yeah,
and
why?
Teenagers, you know, so it's all like, but what's wrong with me?
And right.
Like,
oh. And you hear that it's not you, it's me thing. And that just sounds like a line. And you're like, what? It's totally me. You don't want me. But like, you're not even thinking at that point, do I even want that person who doesn't want me?
No, exactly.
Right. Which is why my type of woman was always just one who was willing to have sex with me. That's my type.
Right. Yeah, so you've got some work to do with Todd, Frank.
Yeah,
got
a long way.
Yeah, you're going to make an appointment. So, Frank, tell us how to find your book.
My book is available at frank.com. That's FRANQ.com. It's on paperback now, and you can also download it from Amazon.
Nice. Yeah, very cool. Nice. So it's on Kindle as well?
Yes.
Excellent. So, Todd, where do we find you?
You can watch You're the Worst Wednesday nights, FXX.
XXX.
Just two.
Sorry. I like to give misinformation. I'm about misleading people. So you can find me on Amazon, and Facebook as, you know, Casey Martin.
That's so confusing.
Yes, I know. Okay, now you can find me on Facebook as Sophie Venable, and you can find my book on Amazon and barnesandnoble.com. It's called MILF 101, Make Your Life Fabulous. And if you are listening on iTunes or SoundCloud right now, please subscribe, because that would make us all so happy. Thank you so much, Frank, for joining us. This was fascinating.
Yeah, it's my pleasure.
And thank you, Todd, for being here.
My pleasure.
And thank you all for listening. This is Sophie Venable reminding you that you don't have to make your life perfect. Just make it fabulous.